surprises me. How many people that are not converted, they use biblical terms, and sure sometimes they don't know where they come from. It's surprising. Or there are certain objects that we know about, and we find them very early pages in the Bible. I heard one man say he was accused of being too secret about something in his government. And wasn't in this country, these exact words, well, it's like this, he said, it is like this. These exact words, that your left hand must know what your right hand does. And it was fitted for what he was accused of. There's a woman that writes to us a lot and takes the magazine because the preachers about it are so terrible in many places that many are glad to have our church magazine. And she put little tidbits in a letter. And she said in her letter, do you know, she said in her letter, where the first money box came into the world, the real money box. And she said that it's in the Bible. So I didn't read on to say for myself, if there's a text about the first money box, I'd rapidly go through quickly when I was not in the New Testament. I know that. And it's not there, and there's another thinking where she gave the answer of the first money box. There was a time in Israel, 2 Kings chapter 12, where there was a revival and a wonderful feast this time. And the temple was completely ruined many times when the people backslide. The temple gets into ruins, and the church gets into ruins, and God's people get into ruins of their joy and peace. So, would you collect the money? They knew they had the money, if God's people would be right. And he says in 2 Kings chapter 12 verse 9, but Jehoiada the priest took a check and bored a hole in the lid of it and set it beside the altar, kept it there, and people come in and put their money in the box. Just as we have a box up there every Sunday, there's a hole in it. And to keep the church in repairs, some people put some coppers, just as we have. You could notice it's at the back always. But what about now coming to my text, the first ladder. The first ladder. Yet the first ladder we ever see in the picture is in Genesis, which is Jacob's ladder. Now Jacob, the context of it here, was very sad indeed. Terribly sad. Lonely and miserable. Cast down and frustrated. He had to run away from home. For his brother Jacob, for his brother Esau, said he would kill him. It's a bit his fault too. A bit of his parents' fault. But he was a little bit of a twister. And some of God's people have been twisters for a long time after they converted. Now, as I told you the story, there's a bite in it if we are indeed going to misuse God's grace. There you are, terribly lonely, with it all dark, and there was no one indeed, to help him. And he thought that God had left him too. Well, such a sin that he committed. I've heard many telling me, I think God has left me. The first one I had was in my first church. When he asked me to come and do some nursing care because of nurses were terrible to him, and he was lonely. And he was a pillar in the church. Do you know, Pastor, it's all dark, and I was so lonely. And God has departed from me. And Jacob felt like that. Not only his fault, but his parents too. Like one and the other, parent like the other. And he felt it, there he was, in the dark. And without knowing or asking or striving, doing all sorts of things, because there was no one there, God intervened. And if we are true believers, it doesn't matter what we have done, and in the habit, and in the strength, God makes the first move. And it says there, you see, that a ladder, we read it yourselves, because I don't want to spend too long, the messages seem to stretch out when I am preaching. And suddenly, like he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. On the top of it reached heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending. Genesis 28, verse 12. Thank you. looked at the ladder, it has shown him that heaven is linked with earth for the believer. Even when we have done wrong, the angels going up, taking the petitions, coming back around and bringing down the blessings, going on and on and on all the time. And he heard the voice of God up there, coming down from God, down to earth, and back to God. And he never breaks down, even because you sin. He heard a voice from the Lord, reminding him of the covenant of grace, that our sin doesn't break the covenant of grace. What God has promised, he will give. And when he realized this, that God was there, and all this is going on, what God had promised him, read the chapter yourself. Amazing things that God had promised him. So he said this to him. He said these wonderful words to him in Genesis 28, verse 29. In Genesis 28. If this is the case, he says, in Genesis 28, verse 20, after he has sinned and he's lonely, he went that way, and his brother would have killed him, and his parents couldn't help him. And Jacob vowed, said, if God will be with me, if this is the case, doesn't he say if that you want, if this is the case, that God will be with me, and will keep me in the way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on, he shall be my God. He's not the same. Some commentators say, look at him, he's still slide, arguing with God about his clothes and food. They don't understand the scripture, some of them. Salvation is not salvation from your sin and eternal damnation, but from poverty. This will clothe you. He's going to give you food. He's going to give spiritual health. He is going to be with you all the days of life. That's salvation. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added. Food. A twister a believer, that God looks down in mercy, blessing above grace that much more above. But we must see what it means down with the New Testament to pray to our hearts, he says. Don't say, well, I can continue in sin. Once you say that, you are not a believer. What do you say that? But how can you, if you are repenting of being sin? Yes, we can backslide. Time and again, read Romans 6 again. Now, if we leave that historical story there, it's just a nice little story. Isn't that pretty, eh? The conveyor from a user pretend around like that. Not really. The little story. Which some of the modernists make fun of it. We must come to the New Testament always in all those little stories and to see how it is with your life and my life. You see, we must apply it. Calvin says here, they make fun of these, they close their hearts to these, they don't look for the interpretation of what happens. Their heart is often false hearts of superstition. So what did Jacob do when he heard and saw all this? Went off and said he could sin now. No, no. He put up a stone and he dedicated and poured oil over it. What means? It's not so much coming up to front, which I'm not against, or that. It's not so much, my dear friend, what you say in testimony meetings here. It's what you do in your lonely moments here. And we have to adopt our dedication with the Holy Spirit, that it be convert, that it be precious and lovely and glorious for our souls when we are with the Lord. That's what it means. I know. These people come in the front of the meeting now. With amazing, what are you in secret? All our groans and moanings and cryings to be there with God. If you have sinned as a believer, you're in a stocking state. And if you are like artists, you shall be terribly trapped. There. It's the Holy Spirit, as you all know, the oil there, the oil of gladness. I am forgiven. I will dedicate. My life now will be better. So how do we interpret them? Well, we heard the scriptures this morning read to you. Read it again when we get home. Nathaniel, the disciple, not chosen a disciple, yet, but a believer, came to him, we found the Messiah, a wonderful, glorious. And to know where he's come from, Lazarus. See his presentation. I'm doing focus on the preaching of that this morning. This sermon then told my wife, leave me alone. It rushed through my mind in 3 minutes, this sermon. I get these occasions of that when we talk about their experiences. I have to do 3 minutes. Okay. Took time, of course, to order it and lighten it and make it interesting. That's such a long time. Rush! Right up, mighty river. Though he was a good man, he had prejudice. We've got to watch that. But as a believer, they said to him, come and see me. And he went, if you're a believer. Can any good come out of Nazareth? All those ignorant peasants. Like the nationalists we got in all our countries. Some in Ireland, some in Wales, some in England, what they call them. Forget what they call them. We have some in Scotland, without better times. Some in other countries, that's all they all are. So the Galileans. Come and see, yes, yes, but something went there. It was Christ that came out. And so in the hearts of all people, there's conflict in their life. Yes, if Christ comes in, Christ comes out and shows our life. And he went. And the Savior spoke to him. Wonderful Savior, I got there. It's a wonderful thing to preach the gospel. What a wonderful occasion. What a terrible person you are if you want a message and don't tell them. Shake yourself in this terrible world. Forget about everybody who's got a message. Once we are obedient, whatever prejudice we have, or whatever sin, we are believers if we accepted Christ. We Christ came to him. I saw you sitting under a tree. Got to interpret that because the Old Testament, Saul and other people, they go sit under trees to meditate. Away from the crowd. So when we do that, it comes nearer to our hearts. I saw wonderful thing when we sit and meditate. You're a very spiritual person if you love to do that. Whatever your life has been in the past. And then says Nathaniel to him, how quick we turn sometimes to evil, and how quick we can turn to something wonderful in our lives. Something comes over us sometimes. We're down in the dumps 1 minute, and we can be lifted up if we are faithful to God. I saw you, said the Lord. Means meditating, that's what it means. So go quick. Nathaniel answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. He opened up. You saw something that the rest hasn't seen. That Christ is the Son of God. The sight Christ is a king. Does it end there? That's wonderful. You come into the larger room. Christ answered and said unto him, I saw thee. You see something greater than this, he said. Hereafter, ye shall see the heavens open. It is revelation after revelation. It's not being converted only. It's not only the wonderful experience over and over. A real Christian is going from trial to trial, heartache to heartache, grace to grace, and faith to faith, and everything opens out to him. From faith to faith. We have another heavenly shot in the picture. And then you have to go to Christ, but what does he say then? You believe in all these things. And you will see, he said, the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Right? He said, the King. Right? The Son of God, that's not enough. You must see Jesus also as the Son of Man. Why must you see Jesus as the Son of Man? Why did he talk about himself as the Son of Man? Because the ladder must come down to earth by you. He descended first. For he ascended down. Down in Bethlehem. What are we talking about, our poverty? Down in the cross. Down in the grave. Down in the lost world. Down with us all. It means, my dear friend, that there is a link in heaven to earth. Surely it is the Son of Man, but that mankind in this manner can see all the wonders of God's grace and gifts and saving power. It's down there he came. In Romans it says, to be saved or to be dedicated. How are you going to climb up and do something wonderful to bring Christ down? Or are you going to go down there to bring him up? No, no. A thousand times no. He's by you. He's by you. He's came to this world. He wanted to see. He wanted them to see in this man that God was working in him. That's why I've been studying so lately and found out why God is giving me these experiences on Sunday around these churches that God will come to be God. All things work together for good to those that love God and so on. There must be a lesson. I want to go round and then another church this week. We came to their parlor, as it were. All the things of these people have been doing wonderful things. This movement, this man, that man, this man, will do all sorts of acrobatical tricks almost going on. Instead of realizing that Christ came and what he did should see it in him. And all of us the same. But he came down here to Bethlehem, that's the beginning of the ladder. And he ascended on high. It is, and what is there now, God? Something really more wonderful than the Old Testament, or emanation, if you will, God in man. A on the top. What does it mean? It means that Christ died and rose. And at Pentecost, that's why I teach in this all the time. The main thing of Pentecost is that has never happened before, that the Holy Spirit came down from my Savior, who lived and died and rose again, and bringing the Holy Spirit that has the merits of the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ in it as never before. And it means that the Holy Spirit has come into our heart with the redeeming love of God by the Spirit. And it is linked with heaven. That Spirit is in Christ, is in us. That redemption of Christ is in our redemption. And that Christ is interceding for us as we sin. That you can't remain in it. Do you know, said Jacob, all this wonderful thing is a ladder, and we're connected with the Christ who did this on earth and in his body, and on Pentecost he called it down. Do you know, he said, I didn't know, he said, I didn't know. That's in the house of God. God was present all the time, and I didn't know. That's what it can be. That's a typical backslider. He's with you all the time. And he comes down, he's interceding, and his Spirit intercedes in our hearts. There's a oneness. And here we are, we have sinned, or we are down in the dust, and we don't know that Christ is interceding, and that the Spirit comes down to us, and he wants us, as he was around, to put our petition there, our sins, our needs, our glories, to put them there, our future. And go to death, and he goes up to heaven, and he hears our petitions, and then he sends it down and gives us a blessing. He touches you and says, I'm speaking about my own life. Well, we answer prayer. He can touch the sinner's heart to help you. His ruler, his king, heaven and earth, and we're linked with him there. He says the ladder, his life is in the Spirit. As he prays in the scripture, so he prays in our hearts. And I didn't know. That's the life of a backslider. He's forgotten, there is a cup drinking. They're in worldly people, they don't know what's going around. Put your burdens, cast them in there. Everything you've got to sin, cast it in, and it goes back up. And then he sends the message back down, and he blesses us, goes round like that all the time. And if you don't, he'll bring down chastisement, or leave you in the dust. Let your own sins as a believer punish you, which is done with me, you see. Therefore, then, time has gone. Again, give you one text. Shame, there is a lot of shame that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. This is the link with Christ. Jesus, the Son of God, let us all pass to our confession and let us pray. Put our petition, say, this world is begun to break down. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Poor little me, everybody is better, Lord, higher. They get a better home, better father, better mother, better this, better that. You've got a better father, better savior. And he says it is better for you to you than anybody else in this world. He is touched with the feelings. Why is he touched? Because you put your petitions there and he's touched. It's coming up to him by his spirit. For he was in all one tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us crawl to the throne of grace. Miserable sinners we are, we'll crawl then. All the time. No! Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, living then, all grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Your food, your clothes, your future. And the Savior says, things will open out for you. You'll see Christ who has come and ascended coming one day, and you shall be with him forever and ever. Meanwhile, it's working. Go home quick. Put everything there. And he's touched by it. He's got to help you come back down. The blessing of the Lord. Amen.